The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
And this is the Bill Myers Show.
This morning, another first in my long broadcast career of 44 years, the opportunity to speak with a Swiss political consultant who is all over the American elections. And he is Dr. Louis Perron. He is a Swiss political consultant, earned his master's from George Washington in D.C., and his doctorate from the University of Zurich. And he has worked on tons of campaigns in the United States and Europe and Asia. And he has a brand new book about beating the incumbent, about, you know, because beating the incumbent's always the tough one. If you're going to challenge someone, whether you're in a city council or a county commission, state government, state rep, even up to the national stage, you need some help, right? Beat the incumbent. Proven strategies and tactics to win elections. And Dr. Perron, we welcome you to the show. Good morning, sir.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
All right. How much of a kiss, first off, is it, in other words, how much of a benefit is it to be an incumbent? I mean, how difficult is it to normally take out your typical incumbent, whether it's at a local or even up to the national level? Could you give us an idea?
Historically, it has been a big advantage to be an incumbent because you have easy access to the media. You have almost universal awareness and name recognition. Biden might be an exception here, but you're seen as legitimate for the job by definition. And of course, you have a huge fundraising advantage. I've practically never seen an incumbent that is not at least at eye level with the challenger with respect to funding, most often way ahead. So research shows that about 80% of U.S. Congressmen and senators have won re-election these past 10 years. Mm-hmm. And last election, actually, not one single U.S. senator has lost re-election. So it's a challenge, but that's why I wrote the book.
Yeah, exactly. So you're helping to give people who are, but I guess in some ways, you know, how to beat the incumbent or, you know, beat the incumbent is also a book that if you are running an incumbency campaign, it would also give you the same kind of tips in order to defend your incumbent candidate, if that were the case. Would that be a fair assessment of this?
Absolutely. I think I describe a step-by-step process to overcome the challenges as a challenger. And of course, this can serve as an early warning system for incumbents. And then I have chapter 8 and 9, which is exactly once you are the incumbent, how you sail to an easier re-election, or at least chapter 9, how you survive if you're vulnerable. So definitely it's for anybody at any level of government who is interested about running.
You are talking in fact, there was an op-ed piece in Real Clear Politics, I believe, that you put out not too long ago, that you were talking about the race between former President Trump, who is not an incumbent, but in some ways is kind of a strange former incumbent, that kind of thing, going up against President Biden right now. It's a unique kind of a thing. And you believe that this is winnable by President Trump if he does certain things, if you don't mind me touching on. I'm just doing this by memory, Dr. Perron. But part of it was that he was going to have to, President Trump would have to go against his own personality to want to make everything about him. Could you tell us a little bit about that? Do you recall that op-ed?
Yes, exactly. It was in Real Clear Politics. And conventional wisdom has it that a race with an incumbent is foremost a referendum on the incumbent. Mm-hmm. In other words, if people are happy with how things are going, as it said, like play him or trade him, right? If you're happy, you play him. Otherwise, you trade him. And I think now we have a situation in the U.S. where people are very unhappy with how things are going. I think Joe Biden's approval rating is quite low for an incumbent. So I think don't interrupt when your opponent self-destructs, right? I mean, mm-hmm. what Trump has to do is to make sure this stays and remains a referendum on the incumbent. And I think the biggest challenge here is his own temperament, his own personality, to make everything about himself. I mean, what was the news from yesterday? It's his rally and the quotes that were taken out of context, or at least taken out of context a little bit.
They were completely taken out of context here, Dr. Perrone. He was talking about a bloodbath when it comes to the economy involving the auto workers. And then it got turned into a bloodbath if he's not reelected in general, which struck me as really, wow, you're going there, people?
I mean, it was also not very careful from his side, given the history of January 6th. Why would you say something like that? And that's what I mean. Like, now the news is about him instead of about Biden. A challenger needs to prosecute the incumbent and make the case why the incumbent needs to be replaced and tie the incumbent to decisions he took. Mm. So I think it was a bit unfortunate yesterday, but it's a classic example of what I mean.
All right. So President Trump, now maybe, though, this strategy right now, when he ends up the stories about him, perhaps it makes a difference in a primary election versus a general election. Would that be something that would be fair to say? Because it stirs the base up to support him, I think, even more in some ways, the attack.
Yes. I mean, Donald Trump has the most enthusiastic base of any politician probably in the world right now. That said, he's unfortunately also probably the most polarizing politician in the world right now.
Agreed.
And and actually, it's another piece I wrote for Real Clear Politics. I think it's the double haters that will decide the election. What I mean is, there are people who have a negative opinion about both, about Biden and about Trump, and I think the double haters, and they are the ones highly likely who will decide the election. So you need to do something that has become somewhat unfashionable in U.S. politics, is you need to reach out to swing voters.
So you think that Donald Trump will then have to reach out, and the swing voter is technically the double hater, as you referred to it, correct?
Yes, and while there are less swing voters and independents than there used to be 20 or 30 years ago, I think they're still the ones who most often decide an election. And I have a whole chapter in the book on how to sell change, how to make swing voters comfortable with voting for change. Because change might sound good, it's also something that is frightening, especially in the case of Donald Trump. I think actually a number of voters do not just really disapprove of him or have a negative view about him, they're really scared of him. So there needs to be a comprehensive effort and strategy to reach out and sell change and make people comfortable with voting for change,
while at the same time pleasing your base and keeping your base with you, I would imagine. I'm talking with Dr. Louis Perrone, and his new book is Beat the Incumbent, Proven Strategies and Tactics to Win Elections. And they're very interesting strategies here. Now, when you are talking about, we're just dealing with presidential politics, because that's probably the one that's getting the most attention right now in most of the news here, Dr. Perrone. And you look at President Biden, arguably infirm, right? You know, there's some real problems there. If you were the manager of his campaign, what would you be doing between now and November to help bolster his attempts at remaining an incumbent?
I actually also wrote a piece exactly about that on Real Clear Politics. I write both, right?
You did both.
Biden, if I were Trump, sometimes looking at things from distance helps you see the forest. So if I were Biden's team, I think, first of all, you have to make this a binary choice. You don't want this to be a referendum. So, and again, Trump really helps you do this. So if you're Biden, basically what you're saying is, you may not be happy with how things are. You may disagree with a lot of things, or may be disappointed with things I did. But boy, at least you know what you have. Don't take the risk, because this will get way worse if you vote for the challenger. It's a classic, it's the way Barack Obama won re-election. It's the way George Bush won re-election. You have to make this a binary choice. So Biden has a huge fundraising advantage. Get ready for a lot of negative ads over the next weeks and months. And then, of course, the second part for him is really he has to deal with the age issue. No, I think that's probably the main thing that keeps him from getting reelected right now.
The other aspect of this, I don't know, Dr. Perron, did you hear the story about a Washington Post columnist who came out and actually called for the resignation of Vice President Kamala Harris? And this has always been, this has been rumored for a while that this would be the way to get a younger candidate in there to perhaps sweeten the Biden candidacy. Is that the way you would read that, too, in your view?
Yes. I mean, there is a lot of rumor about this. Including in conservative circles. I've heard also that it would have to be another black woman. So the name of Michelle Obama is circulating. Somehow, though, since Biden was a vice president himself, and I think sometimes was unhappy on how he was treated as a vice president, I have a feeling it's not going to happen. I think I would be surprised if he would do that. Donald Trump, yes, I'm sure he would do it. Uh-huh. Biden, somehow have a feeling he's not going to do it. And I also think, I mean, vice president, I've worked for vice presidents, it's really hard to shine as a vice president because you don't really have all that much of a role, you don't have power, you don't have a budget. Like, it's really hard to shine. I have not given up on Kamala Harris, though. I think it could be sold to the people.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that would be a tough one. You were also saying, though, that if you were running Biden, you would do exactly what he did in 2020, which is stay in the basement, essentially, right? Don't go out and campaign. Is that fair? Is that kind of what I heard?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. I think in a presidential election, there are like a few key moments. So there are the debates, there is the nomination speech, there may some be high-profile interviews. So I would really prep for those. I would invest a lot of time and preparation to make sure I get these straight. But then I would really limit access and exposure as much as possible to limit potential gaffes and negative news. So the first event would really just be to make swing voters comfortable, give them permission to vote for Biden. Say, hey, it's not all that bad. After all, I saw the State of the Union.
I might be the devil, but I'm the devil, you know, right? That's kind of the way you talk about it for you sell an incumbency, correct? Is that it, kind of it?
Yes, and also, like, I think people need reassurance that he's really able to do the job, which is special because usually incumbents are legitimate to do the job because you've seen them do the job. Now, given Biden's age, I think there are serious doubts, and people may just say, hey, thank you for what you've done. Now enjoy retirement, right? Mm-hmm. And you really want to give people what we call in the jargon a permission structure. To say, look, he can still do the job. It's okay to vote for him. And I would plan a series of high-profile events, well-prepped, well-rested, well-rehearsed, to give people this reassurance, but then limit exposure, not to create more gaffes and negative headlines for him.
And meanwhile, you would advise President Trump to be very vital, very prepared, ready to do debate at any time, right? That's kind of how you would promote that side of it in order to chip away at the incumbency.
Exactly, because remember, election campaigns are always about showing contrast, right? It's about contrast. So if people have doubts about Biden's age, what you want is to show contrast. So you want to be the campaign of the future. Don't talk about vendetta, about the past, relitigating the past. Talk about the future. Champion future issues. Have a youth campaign. Be seen vital outdoor. So even without maybe even saying things explicitly, show contrast. One thing I've learned, actually, I've done a lot of work in Asia, is you can kill with a smile.
Now, would you advise President Trump, former President Trump, then, to not mention anything about January 6th, or just kind of ignore that completely and just move into future talk? Is that kind of, you're thinking that's, this is about getting the swing voter to have permission to talk with you or to vote for you? Is that where you're coming from?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I would certainly not insist on his version of January 6th. I would not keep repeating the big lie. I mean, just thinking outside of the box, he could actually pledge to accept the results this time, which would make, of course, all discussion about the past sort of mute and academic, or at least irrelevant. So I doubt it's going to happen. But yes, I think it would be the right thing to do.
I don't think, you know, I don't know if his base would be very happy with that, too. So it's a real balancing act. You know that. And but it's interesting.
Bill, about the base. I think the base is very enthusiastic, but they were there in 2020. I think that the key, though, for the base, I agree that there is work to do from the Trump campaign with the base, but it's really about organization, about turning out the vote, because turnout operations really have changed. Like, I think it was said one time that it has moved from getting out the vote to take home delivery of the vote.
Yeah.
And I think that's where Trump and Republicans have a lot of work to do, is with the mechanics, the organization, the logistics of really take home delivery of the vote and then return the vote. So I think there's more operational challenge for them than in terms of motivating the base. The base is fired up.
You know, Dr. Alperon, I think this is that's a really interesting way of looking at it, because the way of voting has changed, and it's nothing. And frankly, this is the first two or three years that the Republicans have been able to be election monitors after a consent decree or a consent agreement a number of years ago with some election problems. I don't want to get off in the weeds there, but it's a very thought-provoking book that you have. The thought-provoking book here, once again, is Beat the Incumbent, Proven Strategies and Tactics to Win Elections. And you can find out more about Dr. Perron. It's Louis Perron, PERRON.com. And, of course, the book is available not only there, but on Amazon and all the usual suspects. And this is going to be a pretty interesting election season, one form or another. I'll bet you'll have a lot to say with this on commentary. I'll give you the final word here, Doctor.
Well, yes, I think be ready for the most expensive, most professional, hardest fought election campaign probably in the world. And given the situation, get ready for a lot of negative ads. And I think it could go either way. So we might have to do another show, one of closer to the election.
I think so. Now, the other thing I wanted to ask you before we take off: are negative ads effective? Because people complain about negative ads all the time. Why do candidates use negative ads?
I'm afraid, yes, they are. Not all of them. If it's well done, well researched, and fully delivered, actually, I'm afraid it is. Because in the U.S., you guys are really a quite classic two-party system. So there's only limited ways to show contrast, right? You can either say something positive about yourself — I'm afraid that train has left the station for both of the top candidates — or you say something negative about the other guy. So people always say that they don't like negative ads, but they might dislike the very specific content of an ad that you're running even more.
Interesting. Dr. Louis Perron, Swiss political consultant, and once again, Beat the Incumbent, Proven Strategies and Tactics to Win Elections, not just for presidential or congressional, but even your local, you know, your local elections, and ways to help you out one way or the other, whichever side of the argument you're on. Dr. Perron, it is a pleasure having talked to you. Thank you so much. We'll have you back.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll get the information up about Beat the Incumbent on KMED.com. We'll do that a little bit later this morning. It's 831.
If your tools and equipment are rolling around in your pickup bed and trailer, Two Dogs Fabricating will get you organized with racks, hooks, hangers, baskets, and sleeves. Two Dogs provides whatever you need to be efficient and ready when you roll up on a job site. And if you're looking for a unique work bed or trailer, sketch it on a napkin and bring it in. Just a little direction and you'll say, that's exactly what I was thinking. Two Dogs Fabricating, a working man's best friend. Up beside your dog, of course. On Bryan Way, off Sage in Medford, and at twodogsfab.com.
Is the homemade potato salad as good as mom's? Maybe. Bring mom for a trial sample to Diner 62.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided. By Dish.
Your smile is the key to your health and confidence. Did you also know that research has concluded people have almost as much fear about finding a new dentist as they do about going to the dentist? Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Johnson, and here at Dental Excellence, we value the confidence and trust our patients have in us. My 20 years of experience and thorough training equals comprehensive dental care. From creating that perfect filling or doing that perfect root canal in my dental microscope, to restoring a patient's confidence with implant-supported dentures, we can do it all here at Dental Excellence. For those who need, I am highly trained and certified in IV sedation and the art of creating a comfortable, relaxed, stress-free environment. Are you looking for friendly, compassionate, personal care? Come and join our excellent dental family.
Call 541-779-6170 today for a free consultation. Dental Excellence.
Dental Excellence. Changing lives, one smile at a time.
If you have an Alexa device, you can listen to great news and talk anytime by first asking Alexa, enable KMED. After enabling the skill, you can listen to the most popular talk personalities like Bill Meyer and Lars Larson, plus local news and weather 24 hours a day by just asking her to play KMED. Alexa streaming on KMED is made possible by Megan McPherson at Farmers Insurance, Father and Son Jewelry, Violets and Cream, and Pacific Healthcare Training.
Welcome back to the Bill Meyer Show, 106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCFD.
8:33. This has been a politically heavy-duty morning, whether we were talking about beating the incumbent like I was there with Dr. Perron just a few minutes ago, talking about the machinations in the Republican Party a little earlier this morning with Holly Morton and all the drama that's going on here. And we got to talk about some of the people coming to town. And Will Lathrop is going to be in town here the next couple of days, really. He's a candidate for Attorney General. How you doing, Will? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me.
Will, I don't think I've had the pleasure of talking to you before. I don't think we've ever spoken before. So give me your 60-second elevator pitch, you know. Yeah, I don't know you. I'm in here, and I'm in the elevator with you. And why do you want to be Attorney General?
Yeah, so I was a prosecutor for a lot of years in Oregon, mostly focusing on child sex abuse. And then for the last 8 years, I've been living in Africa, leading teams to combat human trafficking, to rescue child slaves and prosecute slave traders and masters. And
wow.
So I've always been a resident here in Oregon, and each year my company would fly me back for a few months, and just watching the decay of law and order and governance state of Oregon over the last decade has been shocking. It's like watching the frame by frame death of a state. And so I've decided to come back and try to be a wave of new leadership that's going to deal with public safety and start focusing on victim protection.
What role has the Attorney General played in this decay? And I'll preface this with, most of the time when I see the Oregon Attorney General's office talking, it's about usually signing on to some progressive interest thing like, oh, we're going to go after people charging too much for rent or something else. There always seems to be like an agenda-based process rather than maybe what people are caring about. Do you have any thoughts on that? What's going on?
Yeah, I think that her legacy is one of chasing national agendas and chasing opportunities to get good press. But she's really ignored Oregon largely, and particularly with criminal justice. She's turned the light switch off on the organized crime division. She's been part of the wave of leaders in the state who wanted to decriminalize drugs and wanted to sort of tear down police and law enforcement funding. And so she's played a big role because the Attorney General's nickname is Oregon's top cop. So she's been engaging a lot of national politics and has failed to help us here in Oregon. And the results are all around us.
Is the incumbent running or not? Do you know?
She is not, no.
Okay, so in other words, this is so Rosenblum is gone, so that means it's going to be a wide open. Okay, this is going to be wide open then.
Yep.
Is the, I ended up talking to a political consultant about beating the incumbent. In essence, though, the incumbent is whoever the Democratic Party wants there, right? I mean, that's honestly the challenge that we have in this election.
Yeah.
Would that be fair?
Yeah, the public union and the environmental lobby, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's the incumbent.
How do you propose to take that on? Because that's a tough lift. I mean, that's a big mission to accomplish.
Yeah, I think in normal circumstances it would be. But when it comes to law enforcement, Oregonians trust Republicans over a Democrat by about 11 points. And so the number one issue kind of resonating in Oregon voters across the state, including Portland, is public safety, is keeping people safe. Because especially in Portland, people are losing their city. So we think that the issues are very favorable to my campaign, and we're quite confident we're going to win.
In other words, the Democrats have screwed up so badly that even Democrats are going, okay, I've had enough of this. Is that it?
Yeah.
Go ahead and grab it, Will. Okay. Will Lathrop is running for Attorney General. And tell us about what you're doing today. Actually, a little later today, you're having this public safety roundtable here at the Chamber of Medford and Jackson County on East 8th. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so I'm going to be meeting with local law enforcement and just discussing the specific issues in Jackson County, particularly with to do with organized crime and the foreign drug cartel, because the Attorney General plays a really big role in pushing the cartel out of the state. And part of the reason we have such a cartel problem, an organized crime problem in Oregon, is the Attorney General has been failing for about a decade. And then later tonight at the Jackson County Library in Medford, we're having a public event, a campaign sort of meet and greet where you can learn more about me and how I can work to keep people safe and reduce crime in your area.
Hey, Jackson County Library meeting room, when's that going to be, Will?
That's 6 p.m. tonight.
Okay, 6 p.m. tonight. I'm just going to make sure and get that up there so people can come meet you and talk about the campaign. You know, you talked about getting the cartels out of the out of the state. And hey, I'd love that.
Yep.
I think a lot of other people would like that too. What role does sanctuary city legislation play in the ability to do that or not? I'm sure you've thought deeply about this.
Yeah, I think sanctuary city has created a culture where there's fear to engage with federal agencies that could actually help us combat this crime. Because like I said, these entities are making millions and millions of dollars off of exploiting addiction and crushing families.
And I would add that sanctuary status of Oregon doesn't necessarily mean that it's okay for the Sinaloa drug cartel to be hanging out in the state.
No. Right? And the truth is the law is that Oregon law enforcement has to participate with the federal agencies. But that's gotten our sanctuary state has created confusion, unnecessary confusion. And it really made it difficult for us to fully resource programs that could help us. And I'm going to turn that around.
All right. You're going to turn that around. So there's a way to, in some ways, isn't it even about setting the tone of, hey, you know, we're not going to go after you on the sanctuary, status legislation if you're going after, you know, the actual criminals the right way? Is that kind of how you do it? I'm just wondering how you structure that, how you thread that needle.
I honestly don't think you need to restructure anything. Our current Attorney General has made the choice to disengage with federal agencies that could help us. It has nothing to do with our sanctuary state status. It's just a culture of DEA is bad, FBI is bad, and these are agencies that are going across borders and Interpol that can go across national borders. And to have a successful strategy, we have to collaborate with federal agencies and international agencies because this is an international crime. It's crossing all borders.
All right. So you don't really have to change anything other than reverse course in which they won't engage Blumenthal
Rosenblum.
Yeah, there we go. I'm getting my names mixed up there. But So Rosenblum wasn't instructed not to. It's just by ideology, we're not going to engage with the feds or law enforcement or anything else, and we're going to go after everything else that doesn't matter. Okay, got it. And so then you just have to go after what matters. Problem solved. Or at least we're going to start cracking down on the problem then, right?
Yeah. We started off by talking about her focus has been on suing Facebook, suing Fox News,
right,
trying to get rid of gas stoves, all of these like politically driven things, and it completely ignored the real problem in the state, which is this huge growing organized crime that's starting to take everything over. And so I'm going to reemphasize I don't oversimplify it, but that's as simple as it gets.
All right. Very good. Will Lathrop is running for attorney general. And it's Will Lathrop, LATHROP.com, to find out more. Now, the law enforcement conversation, that's going to be coming up this afternoon. Sheriff Sickler will be there from Jackson County, Police Chief Ivins, Representative Emily McIntyre from Eagle Point, Representative Kim Wallen, Mayor Terry Baker from Phoenix, and some other law enforcement professionals that aren't necessarily confirmed at this point. Is that open to the public, or is only the library talk tonight open to the public in general?
I can't speak to the first event, but I know that the library event is open to the public.
Okay. So that's going to be tonight, 6 o'clock at the Medford Library meeting room, where people can meet you and kick it around. And hey, bring your concerns too. I mean, you need to know, right? You need to know what the people are concerned about. Will, best of luck to you. And I appreciate you reaching out, and you're welcome anytime now that we've had our first talk. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for all you do. I appreciate it.
Yeah. It's a pleasure indeed. Will Lathrop, candidate for attorney general. Remember tonight, 6 o'clock. And that is going to be at the Medford Library meeting room. The email of the day on the Bill Myers Show, sponsored by Central Point Family Dentistry. See all they have to offer at centralpointfamilydentistry.com and call for an appointment. Dr. Steve Nelson and his staff are next to Mazatlan Mexican Restaurant, just off Pine in Central Point. News sponsored by Valley View Nursery, your only nursery with online pricing. Visit valleyviewnursery.com. They're closer than you think.
Good morning. I'm Natalie Cerna with your NBC5 Morning News Update. Medford's regional hazmat team taught first responders how to safely handle hazardous materials. Last week at the Grants Pass Hillcrest Fire Station, Medford's hazmat team 8 held a four-hour training course on responding to incidents involving hazardous materials. Personnel suited up in full hazmat gear for one portion of the training. The class served as a follow-up for a previous training course. Then the statewide Battle of the Books competition continued Saturday with middle schoolers. The battles were held at the Rogue River Elementary School campus. Several teams from different middle schools tested their knowledge on a selection of books. Each year, teams are challenged to read 16 books and are asked comprehension questions. The teams that answer the most questions accurately advance through the tournament. Participating students say they enjoy collaborating with their teams and diving into diverse stories. Saturday, the Rogue River Elementary School 6th graders came out victorious against the Valley School of Southern Oregon team. Rogue River will advance to the state competitions April 13th in Salem. That's a look at your morning headlines. For NBC5 News, I'm Natalie Cerna. And for local news anytime, head on over to our website, KOBI5.com, or our Facebook, KOBI TV NBC5, where we have the latest look at the news and weather in the Rogue Valley. Have a great Monday.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority on post frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
Got a mess with the IRS or a tax date with the state? You may need representation. Visit firstresponseirs.com. First Response Resolution, your local tax resolution experts in Eagle Point, defending your rights as a taxpayer. Visit firstresponseirs.com.
We've heard it all.
Apparently, those larger tires don't provide more clearance.
It was a really big bird. Might have been a pterodactyl.
I should have screwed that tool shelf in the garage to the wall.
But the reason you need auto body repair doesn't matter to us as much as making your car look new again, and the process easy for you. At Lithia Body and Paint, we've been getting Southern Oregon drivers back on the road since 1946. Speed, service, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
Sweetwater Sanitation are your experts in the sanitation business. With over 20 years of providing septic services in Southern Oregon, Sweetwater Sanitation gets the job done the right way. Sweetwater Sanitation can inspect, service, repair, and pump your septic tank so you can focus on enjoying time with friends and family and not a septic disaster. Give them a call at 541-821-1426 or check them out online at swsmodoc.com. Sweetwater Sanitation, their service is the difference.
Ask Sherwin-Williams during the March Spring Sale, March 15th through the 25th, and get 35% off paints and stains with prices starting at $28.92. That means 35% off our most popular color family, blue. Psychologists have found it to be soothing and relaxing, which makes it especially great for bedrooms and bathrooms. And, of course, get 35% off all of our other colors. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD. This is the Bill Myers Show.
8:46, open phone time here. It's 770-5633-770-KMED. If there's anything on your mind you want to jump in there, I know today we were very guest-heavy because just ended up being kind of the way things worked out, and some of them just kind of came in at the last minute, too. You know, the Will Lathrops, and all, even our talk with Holly Morton earlier this morning talking about the vanquishing of Solomon Yu. Bye-bye. I'm okay with that. Just saying, try to get an Oregon Republican Party for conservatives rather than just, okay, what do the rhinos want? Okay, let's do what the Republicans in name only want to do. It's kind of the way things have been run for a long time, in my opinion, at least. Speaking of the Republicans, the Republican women from both Jackson and Josephine County making a lot of noise lately on Friday. We ended up getting the story about Republican women in Jackson County are going to be keeping the main office open downtown, at least through the end of the year. And then where things move forward with a new office location, you know, then we'll kind of see. Then we'll kind of see where this ends up going. Joe County has some activity going on, too, for the Josephine County Republican women. And this is going to be happening tomorrow at the Grants Pass Golf Club. Josephine County Republican women are hosting Representative Christine Goodwin and Noah Robinson. They're both candidates for the Oregon Senate and candidates for the Oregon Attorney General. Will Lathrop and Michael Cross will both be there, okay? Meeting starts at 12 noon. And what Linda Smith is talking about, you can come hear what these candidates have to say about their plans from Oregon. Also speaking, Brian Iverson, political strategist, who will explain his unique plan for turning Oregon red. Okay. And so Linda is saying, hey, if you want to get in touch with her, just call her at 971-678-1313. If you missed the number, just go ahead and email me, bill@billmyershow.com, and I'll give you the information. So this is for tomorrow night. Make that tomorrow noon, rather, at the Grants Pass Golf Club. Okay? All right. Now, the whole thing with, I think what would be really interesting is going to be hearing from Christine Goodwin, because John West, Commissioner in Joe County, ended up filing a lawsuit Friday, along with a lot of other Grants Pass residents, calling for the Secretary of State's office to bounce Christine off of the ballot because of where she actually lives. And the claims are that it's not in the district. So you're not following the law of Oregon. You have to live in the district in order to get this. And the evidence is pretty compelling because what she claims to be living in is the Falk Winery tasting room. Now, maybe she is living there. I don't know. It doesn't make sense. But we'll see. Now, Holly ended up popping me another message saying, Bill, I'm hearing that I made it sound like we are trying to get rid of Christine to make a pathway for Noah Robinson. This really is not true. In fact, the Republican Party is not involved in this action at all. I understand that Commissioner John West is trying to protect our county from the leverage that the Democratic Party could have over Christine when they find out that she doesn't really live in her district. In other words, keeping everybody honest there. All right, Holly, appreciate you sending that in, all right? So, got a lot of dust in the air. A lot of dust in the air. Let me go to the phones here, too. 770-5633. Good morning. Hi. Who's this? It's on your mind.
Yeah, this is John.
Hi, John. It's on your mind.
Yeah, last Friday, I think you closed talking about the change in county commissioners that comes up here on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've been listening too much overnight, the ARC Midnight and Coast to Coast, because it just hit me just instantly, just as you clicked off and the news came on. We know what a triangle is.
Right.
And that gives a little bit of balance between everybody that you can have arguments, but settle them.
Oh yeah, a triangle is very stable. Also, like a tripod is a very stable structure. overall.
At one point, they did a lot of research on how many people to put on a crew so that they wouldn't kill each other. And I think, like, the Arctic or Antarctic expeditions and stuff like that. But anyway, so it just hit me that five makes a pentagram.
Oh.
And
so you're kind of going down that Satanist thing with the numbers, the numerology, right? Is that kind of where you're going?
That's where I'm going.
Okay. I hadn't considered that, John.
I just thought I'd throw that into the mix.
Well, the one thing I think we can say for sure, especially the five being the pentagram, the symbol, I think that's interesting, especially in Josephine County, because they're going with districts. They would be going with districts if they approve that monstrosity known as 17-116. And then you end up getting to a point where the only people who will care about your problem is the one district commissioner that you get a chance to vote for, you know, that kind of thing. Well, right now, when you have three elected at large, all three candidates or all three commissioners were voted on by you and then have the opportunity to be concerned about that. I don't know if you've given that some thought, too, the practical aspect.
Goes along with the pentagram.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way of dividing and conquering.
All right. Does that mean we should call the Pentagon a pentagram, too? Just curious, because there's five.
Well, it's not a pentagram. It's a pentagon.
Oh, okay. All right. I just wonder, because I've seen people nickname the Pentagon the pentagram, too, sometimes.
Right.
I don't know if you've seen those. It's kind of interesting. I appreciate the take on it. So we'll stay away from five, stick with three, much more stable, much more inclusive, as it were. All right? By the way, I mentioned that they're trying to get the districts into Josephine County, 17-116. They're not doing that in Jackson County yet, but the Democrats are on the record that that's the next step. They didn't want to do all three of them this time. So they want to do, you know, three, you know, nonpartisan. So this way we hide who you are. It's easier to hide who you are. Then we reduce the pay, although there's question that they really couldn't do that because of state law. And then you go with five elected at large. But then they want to go to districts because that's, well, easier for Democrats to win. That's what this is all about. So it's no on all these charter changes, both in Jackson and Josephine County. And it's just a coincidence that it's all happening in the same year in our two counties in a low turnout primary election. It's just a coincidence. There's no conspiracy involved, no collusion between the Kathy Shaw-type brains of the Democratic Party and all of this. Like, all of a sudden, there was just a groundswell of Democrats that just decided, you know, we're not getting elected here. There's nobody likes our ideas. Well, we change the rules, stat. You know, don't fall for what they're selling, okay? This is the Bill Meyer Show, 854. Boy, looking at the price of gold, is still, boy, sticking pretty close to that 2150, 2160 is where it is right now. As I am looking at it, central banks are buying gold. Maybe you should buy gold, too. Maybe you're looking at this and you have some scrap gold. You'd like to sell it. Whatever side of the trade you're in on. And Bitcoin gave up about 6 or 7% of its value the other day. Although Bitcoin was going up because Bitcoin's going up and people were piling in, you know, looking for a quick hit there. It can cut you both ways here, too. But gold kind of boring. I'm kind of liking the fact that gold is boring. But bit by bit, climb by climb, it's definitely saying something about the markets and the U.S. dollar and maybe the concept that are they going to really be able to keep some spending down? Probably not. Maybe you should have something outside of that, outside of that financial system here, just in case. Talk to Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers. Ashland, 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland. And by appointment at 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. These people are the ones you can depend on. They stayed open during COVID. They didn't bend the knee. They weren't sitting around going, oh, no, you're not wearing your mask. Stay out. They weren't those people. Those are the people that are trying to get the charters changed. Get your mask on, terrorist. Anyway, just get in touch with Jay Austin. Jay Austin and Company Gold and Silver Buyers. Great people to know. And whether you're buying or selling precious items and collectibles too, talk with them about it. They'll make the most amount of money one way or the other, okay? JayAustinBrokers.com, GrantsPassCoins.com, and also on the web at FortuneReserve.com. Call them at 482-3715. Okay?
Who'll Stop the Rain is a classic 1970 hit from Creedence Clearwater that reached number 2 on the U.S. Billboard Pop Singles chart. While Millett Construction doesn't know the answer to John Fogerty's question, they do know how to fix your home's foundation if moisture is making it unstable. So don't worry about clouds of mystery pouring confusion on the ground. Millett will fix your foundation, level your house, and solve the water problem that's causing the damage. Get on solid ground. Visit MillettConstruction.com for a free consultation.
Hi, it's John at Welburn's Weapons. The only thing better than shooting is shooting with a suppressor. Welburn's is Southern Oregon's suppressor headquarters, stocking models from Silencer Co., Dead Air, Griffin Armament, Rugged, Q, Thunderbeast, and many more. And we can order practically any suppressor on the market. Check in with us for monthly incentives to save on suppressors, too. Come see the suppressor experts. Welburn's Weapons on Crater Lake Highway, just south of White City.
I'm Amber Rose from Siskiyou Pump Service, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
Bob from Medford, you have something in favor of five commissioners. Growing government. I can't wait to hear your argument.
Okay, Bill. Stick with me on this. It won't take too long, but you got to put it all together. So, you know, we have climate change regardless of the cause. So if we had five commissioners, we can put their offices at Jackson and Josephine County's fairgrounds, and then we can take all the horses and run it through the commissioners, and they'll come out the other side as camels.
Okay. You're cracking me up, as always. You're a crazy man. You know that, Bob?
I hope so.
All right.
Thank you, Bill.
Appreciate the call. Let me go to Crazy Gene. Crazy Gene, you got something crazy to wrap things up this morning?
Of course. Thinking the Hunger Games was all about districts.
Yes.
And now we're talking about districts here. Are we all going to get a little hungry?
Well, that does seem to be the push of changing the diet. It's quite fascinating how, you know, meat is out and mealworms are in. You will eat the mealworms. You will own nothing, Crazy Gene. Because we in the World Economics Forum and on the top elite, we will own everything and we will rent it to you. We will have the meat. You will have the mealworms. Okay?
I agree.
All right. Have a great day. And that's why we say no to them, too. Pebble in your shoe Tuesday tomorrow. It'll be fun. Always is.
At Batteries Plus, we want to know, what moves you? Is it an SUV or a motorcycle or a golf cart or a boat? Whatever moves you drives us. Batteries Plus, bringing power to your life. Stop in or shop online at batteriesplus.com. Have your